We're starting a new series today, and I want to just basically ask you this question. How many have ever been lonely in life? How many people are lying in church right now? Because loneliness can happen and does happen to everybody in life. It's one thing to experience loneliness, but it's another thing to live a life where you are living in loneliness. Let me say that again. It's one thing to experience loneliness. It's another thing to live lonely. Loneliness is just not something when someone is alone. My daughter, who's 14, used to laugh and because she'd say, "Dad, who were you eating breakfast with today?" I said, "I was eating by myself." "Why would you ever do that?" And that was the question I used to ask my dad years ago when I was younger, and he would go to restaurants and sit and get a table and read a paper, and I thought, oh, that's so sad, he's eating by himself. Until one day, I drove by and saw him at a local restaurant in the morning, and I thought, I have time, I'm going to stop in and sit with him because I don't want him eating by himself. And so I pulled in and walked in and saw him from across the restaurant, walked over to surprise him that he has somebody he can eat with. And I sat down and said, "Good morning, Dad." And he said, "Well, good morning, son," as he looked over the paper. I said, I saw your car. I thought I'd come eat breakfast with you," expecting some type of positive affirmation of, "Thank you, son. Thank you for being the best of all my children. Thank you for seeing me in my moment of loneliness." To which he responded, "Well, don't take this wrong." And my ears perked up. "I enjoy my breakfast by myself, and so I'm going to sit here and read the paper and not talk to you, but you're welcome to sit there and eat breakfast too." To which I said, "I understand. Can I have some of that paper?" And there we both were sitting in. You can be alone without being lonely. I didn't understand it when I was younger. Now at my age, I understand it when my daughter asks, "Why would you ever want to be alone?" Sometimes it's nice to have that peace and quiet. And all the parents with a lot of kids said, amen to that. Something about that moment of no one called in, asking, needing, crying, screaming, yelling. And that's just with the adults. But on the flip side, you can be in a crowd and be lonely. You could, for all the single people that feel alone and think, "If I only was married, I wouldn't be lonely," you better check again because there's married people. For all the people that are retired that sit alone and say, "Boy, I wish I was younger because I wouldn't be lonely if I was younger." There's young people, as you would say, that are dealing with loneliness. In fact, there was a study that just was released in January done by the Cigna organization, and it was done last year. Released in January of 2020, and it said, are you ready for this? 3 in 5 Americans, 61%, 3 in 5 Americans report that they are lonely. They're referred to as an epidemic of loneliness. Loneliness has, according to the study, loneliness has a larger impact on certain demographics. Are you ready for this? Men are slightly lonelier than women. They're slightly uglier than women too, but that's not in the study. That was just my own personal reference. My personal observation as I look across this wonderful congregation of people. Also, this was what surprised me. It noticed that younger people, people 18 to 22, are lonelier than people 72 and older. Trying to figure out the factors, one suggests that it could be the connection of the level of social impact that we've learned to do life by ourselves in a screen, and we think we're connecting with everybody until we have to have an eye-to-eye, face-to-face conversation. Loneliness, it's a real thing. According to that study, it has impacted negatively people's performance, their well-being, affects your health. Loneliness is a real thing. It does not mean, though, that you're a bad person. It does not mean that you have failed. For society has somehow, we mask it Because if we say we're lonely, people will look at us like you're something wrong with you socially, or you've failed, or you don't have any friends. But there's people with a lot of friends in a crowd, and yet on the inside still lonely. So over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about connections that God has given us. Some spiritual, some practical. Some spiritual, some practical, all biblical, that we can utilize to defeat loneliness in our lives. Genesis chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, you can see here. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." Why do I bring the emphasis to that? Because I want you to know that if you're experiencing loneliness today, and please, just let me give you a sidetrack. If this is you, you don't have to be quiet. In fact, if you're quiet, people will think it's you. So shout, clap, raise your hands, get up and spin a little bit if you want to. And everybody's like, wow, they got it down. They're praying. Just start praying for the people. Lord, help everybody else that's around me that's lonely. You just play along and no one will know. And everybody said, see, you guys are good today. Oh, by the way, since I haven't preached in 3 weeks, this is three messages all in one. So hope you got time. Hope you ate a big breakfast. I'm joking. For those of you who are walking toward the back door now, don't worry about it. I am joking. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man or people should be alone." It doesn't mean we won't experience loneliness, but I want you to know that your Heavenly Father does not want you to be lonely. The word "be" in the Hebrew literally means to exist. That your life, that you're continually lonely. I believe that loneliness is not based, again, based on crowd or even partnership. For those who feel lonely, if I only had somebody that I could love, then I wouldn't be lonely. It's really a bad decision, argument to make. Because if you feel like you're only half a person single, that if I met somebody, then I would be complete and be whole, that logic doesn't work, because two halves when it comes to relationships never make a whole. Because when two people come into an agreement, a partnership, a relationship with the idea of that person's going to help me be happy, and both people are doing it, it's like people taking a withdrawal out of account and no one's made an investment. There's no deposit, should be no withdrawals. You can have your car, you can hit the pin as many times as you want and keep trying to make a withdrawal. And some people, not everybody, I know no one here in the name of Jesus, but the reality in life, people have bankrupted relationships, businesses. Why? Because they make withdrawals without making deposits. If you think your relationship is all about what withdrawals you can get and you don't take in consideration what deposits you need to make, welcome to a wake-up call. Come on, somebody. It's not your Father's desire for you to stay lonely. It's not for your Father's desire for you to exist in loneliness. That's a good thing. Because what the devil tells us and what life tells us and what people will tell us is that it's you, your makeup, your design, and you're just going to have to begin to manage loneliness. We appreciate doctors. We have many doctors in the church, and we respect their expertise and their career. We love the medical field, but there's a phase in the medical field, if you've ever talked to a doctor, and they say, well, we'll try to resolve this to eliminate your pain, and if that doesn't work, we'll get you into pain management. You know what pain management is? Deal with it. That's what pain management is. We can't fix it. We can't change it. We can't eliminate it. Learn to live with it. And I think that has happened even in people's lives emotionally, that they begin to think that, oh, I can never eliminate this. I just have to learn to live with it. I can't eliminate it. I have to learn to live with it. I'm here to tell you that's a lie of the devil. For whom the Son is set free is free indeed. You can be free from loneliness. You don't have to just, oh, I got to live with it. That's just my life. That's the cards I dealt. No. Nope. Because when you got saved, you're completely, oh, they told me, Pastor, that's just my emotional makeup. Well, then get out of scripture that says that it's no longer you that lives, but Christ who lives in you. And the life you live by faith in the Son of God. Get the scripture that says, behold, all things are made new. Get the scripture that says that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. What am I telling you? I'm introducing you to the concept of hope, that if you're lonely and have been lonely for a long time, you don't have to stay there. You don't have to continue living there. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean you've done something wrong. It doesn't mean that you're a failure socially. It just means the devil is attacking you with this. And I'm telling you that God has called you to be victorious in every area, just not physically, just not spiritually, but also emotionally. Well, let me go a little farther. And if you could go back to the messages we've taught over the years. Years ago, the Lord placed on my heart. You know, you go back in the 60s and 70s, and there was a great move of God. And it's called the healing revival, where people would see masses of people get healed. And I still believe in praying for the sick, Mark 16. I still believe people getting not only saved, but healed. And that's part of your covenant, Matthew 15, 26. I really believe 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed, still works for today. Can I get an amen? But there's seasons. There's seasons in the history of the church, of what we call history or timeline, where God will overemphasize because when you do listen to the biographies or interviews of these men and women of God who God greatly used, they talk about how seeing people get healed, it was almost so easy. Because why? God was doing something special. It doesn't mean you can't pray for people now and see them get healed. We just see people get healed on a regular basis, literally. Praying for somebody during the week, they got healed. During an online stream, somebody who was dealing with this virus and was trapped in Japan, but watching a friend sent them a link to the message, and as they were watching, they were ministered to. God can heal anyway, and he wants to heal. But years ago, by that I mean about 15, 20 years ago, the Lord placed on my heart that there was coming a move where there would be, listen to me, that there would be a revival of not just physical healing, but there would be a revival of soul healing. Because there's a lot of people who walk around physically, you're fine, but on the soul, your mind, will, and emotions, you're busted and broken. Sometimes because of sin, sometimes because of other things. Like the dear grandma who got saved. I had met her in a restaurant. She was a hostess. I'd gone there a lot, and I was just being friendly. And over the process of time, she found out that I was a Christian and found out that I was a pastor. And one day came to church, and I remember the day at the back of the church in our older building in the foyer, and she said, I just gave my heart to the Lord. Her whole life, she lived as an atheist because what her grandpa did to her as a kid. And she prayed as a little girl, don't let this happen again. And it still happened all the way up till she was a teenager. And she hated God for it, blamed God for it, and raised her kids to be atheists. But one day, she experienced the real Jesus. But Jesus didn't do that to her. Jesus didn't give her a dirty, perverted grandfather. Jesus gave her a good grandfather, but sin and the devil distorted and messed him up to do horrible things. Don't blame God for evil. And I remember the day she came up and that tears in her eye, and then she'd given her heart to the Lord, and she said to me, for the first time in 45 years, I don't feel dirty. We can look the part on the outside, but if we're broken on the inside, Isaiah says it this way, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes you are healed. Isaiah says you are, 1 Peter 2:24 says you were, because of the timeline of where the cross is at. He not only was beaten and bled because of the stripes on the outside, he was bruised below. Bruising is bleeding below the surface. There's a lot of people, and maybe some here today, that on the outside you look great, but on the inside, below the surface where nobody sees, you're bleeding, you're hurting, you feel broken. And I'm telling you what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, not only for your physical healing, he also did it for the healing of your soul. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. That you can, now you don't have to be conformed to this world, but be transformed into the destiny, the identity who God's calling you to be. Can I get an amen? Amen. It is not your Father's desire It is not your heavenly Father's desire for you to live in loneliness. Many times we think, well, God, if you would just give me a crowd of friends, just give me a bunch of people, I won't be lonely. And that's not true either. Let God do what only God can do and begin to work on the inside of you. Again, we're going to give you several connections. Many of them are practical, but all biblical. But we're going to start off with a spiritual one. We need the God factor in our lives. Not just to forgive us of our sins and to help us in our destination to get to heaven and to help us reach the goals and fulfill the destiny he's called us to have. But in the journey, listen to me, in the journey, this is all of a sudden being emphasized in my spirit, in the journey, say in the journey. We don't talk about that a lot because in the world of accomplishments, everybody's so caught up in the goals and what is being accomplished, but many people forget the journey. God just doesn't want you to reach a goal. He wants you to enjoy the journey to the goal. If you're miserable all through the journey, something's wrong. Because when you do it God's way, he can not only help you reach the goal of what he's called you to do, but you can enjoy the journey, the process to which you're working. But most time when you talk about process, you people start thinking of the price and the pain and the misery. Or they start thinking, oh, it don't matter what you feel like or how it is. You just got to get through it to get to it. But I'm telling you, your Heavenly Father loves you so much, he not only gives you the ability, Philippians says, that he gives you the desire and the ability. He gives you not only the ability, but the desire to do what pleases him. He gives you the desire and the ability to pray for the sick and see him get healed. He gives you the desire and ability to sow so that you can reap what God's called you to reap. He gives you the desire and the ability to stand strong against opposition. He gives you the desire and the ability to go against the giant that no one will fight. He'll give you the desire and the ability to stand strong against a king who's threatening you with a fiery furnace. He'll give you the desire and the ability to be who he's called you to be. Someone shout hallelujah. He gives you the desire and the ability. The answer is not found in a crowd. I like watching biographies, and I was watching one a few months ago, and I shared it earlier, but I'm going to share it again for the point. I don't know if you've ever watched Saturday Night Live. I'm not here to condemn it or condone it. I'm not encouraging you to watch it. I'm just, some of you know of the Saturday Night Live SNL TV program. This is comedians. Started in the mid-70s. One of the original cast was a lady named Gilda Radner. Maybe, don't get talking about her character. She's real. It's all about her. But in her own words, she talked about how they first started, and this was a new idea. They didn't know if it was going to work, doing a live sketches and skits. And one day, as they just kept doing it, it was on TV, they found themselves as they went to go to a new location, how the crowd, people were just, had fallen in love with this concept, and success began to flow. And she said the interesting point of her in her life was that dealing with many different things on an emotional side in her life, but she found that the bigger the crowds became, the more lonelier she felt. You would think success and the money and the crowds and the adoration and the acceptance would cause her to feel more accepted and welcomed and less lonely, but it was the complete opposite. Because the beginning of success against loneliness doesn't start around you. It has to start within you. The answer is not found in the crowd, but the answer is found in connections. And today we're going to talk about the first connections, three connections to eliminate loneliness. The first one, and it should start because it is the priority to everything that we do. If it works, this is always the priority. The secret ingredient that doesn't and shouldn't stay a secret in any of our lives. And that's our connection to Christ. Say Jesus. Colossians 2:10, let me read a few verses. Colossians 2:10 tells us, and you are complete in him. You are complete in him. That's God seeing it before you see it. What we have to understand is the Bible tells us that God sees the end equally as he does from the beginning. So when God talks, he doesn't talk from where you are or where you've been. He talks in the context of where you're going. He speaks to you based on your completion. So when God begins something, before he begins it, he completes it. Jesus was slain before the foundations of the world. Why? Because before God begins, he's already finished it. So there, he knows where it's going. He has perfect knowledge of every situation. Why did he allow sin? He didn't allow sin. He gave authority to Adam. Adam allowed sin, but he knew Adam would allow sin. And before Adam allowed sin, he already knew the plan. He would send his son. You don't believe so? Not only the scripture I just referenced, and again, challenge everything I say with the word of God. Not only the reference I just gave you, but when Adam and Eve are being corrected, they had a come to Jesus moment. Come on, somebody. You'll find that the God, the Father, begin to explain to them, this is what's going to happen. And her seed will bruise and put the devil under his feet. He already knew what he was going to do. God knows. So when God speaks and begins, as you read the word and it comes alive to you, and James says, it's like a mirror. It's a reflection of not only where you're at, but where really you're going. And so many times some of you have read the Bible and something just stir on the inside of you. And you look at that and say, I don't understand it here, but something here is stirring. That's just kind of, it's just like honey to my soul. It just moves, it is moving me. It's stirring me. What is that, Pastor? That's the Holy Spirit revealing that word to you, giving you a glimpse of who you are, really. See, I'm a firm believer that when you get to heaven, all the things that have been weighing on you, that have confined you, that has strapped you down, that has limited you, all the labels, all the pressure, all the expectation of other people, all that strip, that you're going to get to heaven and begin to experience the freedom and who you really are in Christ. You're going to like, whoa, why didn't I know that before? You can, but you got to go through the process, Romans 12:2, of the word, so you can be transformed. Too many people do stuff. They're in prison. Even Jesus told the Sadducees and Pharisees, you look the part, but on the inside, there's your dead men's bones. There's no life there. And you take somebody who's sincere and genuine, and by the time you get done work with them, they're 10 times worse than they were before they got saved. Because too many people are imprisoned by the expectation of other people. What would happen if we lived our life, and I'm not saying it's a push of a button, and we're all growing. See, I'm growing. But wouldn't it be nice to wake up in the morning and to live your life in the reflection of who you are and not who people say you are? God, when he talks to you and reveals the word to you, he's showing you who you are. He'll take somebody that is weak and say, you're strong. No, no, you don't know my past. You don't know your future. He'll take somebody without a child and say, Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Oh, yeah, right. I like to see that. Well, come on, let me show you the stars. That's the beginning of what I'm going to begin in you. And he which, the Bible says, and he which has begun a good work in you. He which has begun a good work in you. Wait a minute. I thought we're complete. We are completed in the perspective of God. But he's got to walk you through the journey of the process so you can begin to see it. And you can wait till you get to heaven to see it all. Or you can begin to allow him to do the work he wants to do on the inside. He which has begun a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus. Hallelujah! He's not giving up on you. I'm talking to somebody now, a little more prophetic. In my spirit, I'm picking this up. He has somebody here. You feel like God has given up on you. And I'm here to tell you, he's going to stop this message right in the midstream to let you know he still sees you. He still loves you. And he has not given up on you. For he watches over his word to perform it. Heaven and earth will pass away before his word fails. Psalms 119, his word is established forever in heaven. He has begun a good work in you. We'll continue if you allow him to. So God doesn't talk to us based on our inadequacies. God doesn't look at us based on our fragment mistakes. God doesn't look at us based on our brokenness. God looks at us as we are complete. Say, I'm complete. I mean, when you start feeling lonely and say, oh, if I only had somebody, I pray that next time, God forbid, that happens to you. Oh, if I only was their friend, if I could only get into that group, if I could only have that type of relationship, you don't want that stuff to try to make you complete. You want to bring something to the table, not take something from the table. Why? Because you are, say with me, I am complete in Jesus. The devil starts messing with you. You say, wait. I would like to have that relationship. I would like to have a good core group of friends. I would like to be married, but those things or people don't make me complete. I would like to have this, and those are in my future. But devil, just to let you know, those don't make me complete. I am already complete in Jesus. And since I like to start a fight with the devil, I encourage you, after you say that boldly, just take a step back and smile. And if you want, just laugh at him. Ha! Nanner, nanner, nanner. Whatever you want to do. Whatever works for you. Say, I am complete. So if I'm complete in Jesus, what do I need to do? I need to, because what is legally yours, we want to be literally yours. What legally belongs to you, we want it to be literally. That's the whole process of God. The seed was just not a dollar amount you put in the offering. The seed was the word of God, Matthew 13. And the seed of the word is referencing to Jesus, John 1. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became, verse 14, and the word became flesh. And it said, we have not only seen, but handled that word. If all we have is what we've heard, we haven't stepped into the level of faith that's available, because the plan of your Father is for you to handle what you have heard. Oh my God. It's one thing to walk out of church and saying, after you hear a few scriptures, that you are blessed, the head, not the tail. Everything you, Psalms 1:3, everything you put your hands to is blessed of the Lord. Are you listening? But if all you have is just hearing, you haven't heard enough till you get the revelation. And the journey doesn't end when you hear it. The journey doesn't end when you get excited about it. The journey ends when you handle what you've heard. I was reminded in my own devotional time that, remember the passage when Peter was in prison and the saints were praying for him, to get out of prison, and the Bible says that an angel showed up and opened the door, right, so he could get out. But there was a problem. Peter was still asleep. Now, you know you're in faith when you are sleeping while you're in prison, planning on being executed the next day. What are you doing? Sleeping. Who sleeps the night before execution? You must be in faith that God's got this. You can't go to sleep. You can't rest when they're going to kill you the next day. When everything around you says prison and I'm chained up. But Peter was sleeping, because the Bible said an angel had to go up to him and tap him to wake him up. I'll tell you, when you get in faith, it'll move you into rest. But there's also truth. And you shall continue my word, and then you shall know the truth, and truth will set you free. I believe that when you're in the rest of faith, that it might not look the part in the moment around you, but there's something stirring within you, and you know God's got this. You don't know how, you don't know when, you don't know where, but when you're in rest, the truth will come and tap and wake you up. Here you go, follow me out, and then you still have to do something. James says faith without works is dead. You have to rise up. Say rise up. Isaiah 60, verse 1 says, arise, shine, for your light has come. You got to get up, rise up, and begin to walk out to the doorway that's been opened to you by your Heavenly Father. Peter didn't say, well, what took you so long? And Peter didn't say, well, that's not the way I thought you would do it. Couldn't you do it differently? Peter said, oh, I'm awake now. Now I'm going to walk out. When you're in the rest of faith, you're waiting for the tap of God to awaken you to what you should do. Quit, and I'm into reading books. Thank you for the three over here. I'll talk to you. The rest of y'all can just get the CD. Because the reality is that we in the church world historically, and I believe in reading, I believe in researching, and I believe in looking for, getting into good ideas, looking for the God ideas. But too many people are following God's idea for somebody else, and they're going to a gate that's been locked by the enemy, and they can't figure out why they haven't got out, because that's not the gate for you to walk through. God will tap you and awaken you and move you through the doorway he wants you through. You say, I wish God would heal me. Why don't he heal me like he healed? That healing's available. But if he tells you to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, or if he spits in your eye and puts mud, or if he taps you with his finger on your forehead, or if he speaks a word from afar, why do you care? As long as the word that you've heard, you can handle. Say, I'm complete. Ooh, say, I'm complete. But Pastor, I don't feel complete. I didn't ask you to feel complete. I said, who are you? You're complete. Well, I'm just telling. I'm just saying what I see. Who cares? Don't be moved by what you feel here. See, what you see moves all the time. It changes all the time. Didn't that joker last year tell you he loved you and 2 months later he no longer loved you? You went feeling love to unlove. Emotions move. Don't worry about what you feel. The Bible tells us to be men and women of faith who are not moved by what they feel, hear, or see. Be moved by the word. The word says you are complete. I'm just saying the truth. No, you're saying the facts. You aren't saying the truth. Facts imprison. Facts will imprison you into the circumstances, and you might as well build a tent and stay there forever, but truth will set you free and move you on the journey and destiny. Hallelujah. Say, I am complete. I am complete in Jesus, who's the head of all principality and power. Hallelujah. That means nobody can override that in Jesus' name. Well, I thought I was complete till someone took his job and fired Jesus, and now they're in charge. Nope, can't fire Jesus. No, can't fire. He is the complete, extreme authority position. Amen? So what am I telling you? Our first connection needs to be to Christ, which is the anointed one and his anointing, the presence of God. The presence of God. The presence of God. There's a lot of methods, and we can talk. We can talk about going to church. We can talk about reading your Bible. We can talk about worship. We can talk about prayer. We can talk about fasting. We can talk about all these different ways. But let me tell you, the key is not always which way. You need to find out from God, because sometimes God wants you to give a thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Sometimes God will tell you, I want you to shout with a voice of triumph. Sometimes God says, I want you to kneel and be quiet and be still and know that I am God. Sometimes God says, I want you to get in the word and meditate on it day and night, Joshua 1, and then you'll be stronger, courageous. Sometimes you always don't even know which way. And that's why you got to learn not to be so caught up in a method. And they're all good. They're all good. But the emphasis isn't on the method. The emphasis is on the destination. If you saw me in my car and, Pastor, what are you doing? Oh, I'm taking my family. We're going to go on vacation, a little road trip. And you come back the next day, we are still in the car and haven't moved. You say, Pastor, what are you doing? Oh, I'm taking my family on a road trip. We're going on vacation. Pastor, you said that yesterday. I know. We got our music that we like. We got the temperature in the car. We got some snacks. We went through Chick-fil-A. We're all ready to go on our road trip. What's the problem? We have the appearance of a road trip, but we're making no ground. And you think that just doing it makes the difference. God tells his people, you worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. I can tell you to pray, but if you're praying and you're thinking about something else, you are not connecting to God. If you're reading the Bible and can't remember what you just read, you are not studying the word of God. You have to do whatever you do with all your heart. You have to get into it. Are you listening to me? This is not radical. This is not extremist. This is real. The church world has moved so far off to the one side that they don't even know what real is anymore. And when you do something, do it with all your heart as unto the Lord, the Bible says. That's not my favorite song. I wish they would do my favorite song. I wish I could listen if I know to come to church if they have my favorite song. Oh, wait. I'm starting to like this song. We wait to be entertained in the church world globally, not here at Hope Church. But the church, they come to see what they can get out of it. They treat Jesus like he's their local drug dealer, and they're trying to get a high. I'm telling you, he's better than that. He's more than, I'm not telling. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you shouldn't receive from a service. The church is, when we come together, you should enjoy it. You should experience it. But if everything's about impress me now, you're missing it. You need to walk in and say, I'm going to give praise and thanks to God with all my, I don't care if they sing the wrong song. I don't care if it's my favorite or the one I hate. It don't matter because he's still worthy of my praise. I'm just letting them do their thing. I'm going to get ahead of them if I have to, but I'm going to pray. Praise the Lord with all my heart. You thought you were joining a church. You joined the army of God. My God, where are the people like the Bible times that could be prison and they'd still choose to give God thanks and praise? Our problem is we do stuff out of ritual or routine or discipline or check off. And don't worry if you're doing that. I've been there. I've done it. It's something we have to keep ourselves in check to. Woo, I'm glad I prayed that long. Now I can move on. I remember a time where it was praying a certain amount. In those years ago, it was a whole emphasis of praying about an hour. And I'd pray for an hour. And I learned the hard way. The Holy Spirit during the day would say, why don't you go get away and spend some time and pray? Oh, you don't understand. I already did that. Because I looked at it as a checklist. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray. I'm not saying you shouldn't be disciplined. I'm saying you need to connect. Because the goal is not to look like you're going somewhere. The goal is to go somewhere. Whatever the Lord's placed in your heart to do, if you're reading the Bible, read it until you get and experience the presence of God and the truth of God. If you're worshiping, worship until you enter his presence. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. What am I telling you? It's not about the method so much as it is where you're going, the destination. Connect to Christ. And it's not based on a feeling. This is not, sometimes we can hear these words and think I'm talking about an emotional buzz. You can get an emotional buzz at a secular concert, but you can't get the anointing at a secular concert. It only comes from the house of God and the presence of God. Connect to Jesus. Psalm 16, verse 11, you will show me the path of life in your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. James 4, 8, and draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So here's my challenge. Next time the devil tries to attack you with the loneliness, maybe you're feeling it today. Don't cry. Don't complain. Those are easy. Anybody can do that. Don't say, why me? Anybody can do that. Stand your ground, shake off that dust, that dirt, and say, I'm going to choose to enter his presence. I'm going to connect with Christ. I'm going to connect into the anointing of God because in his presence is fullness of joy. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one move around. If you're here today and you do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm asking you this one question, and those who are watching by live stream, this one question. Is Jesus Christ real to you today in a way that you know for sure that he's real and your Lord and Savior? With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you don't, I'm here to tell you you can. Salvation is not a self-help, be a better person, be part of a club, join a group. Salvation is a real, amazing miracle. You come from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, joining the family of God. It's a work of the Holy Spirit who convinces you, convicts you of sin and the reality that you need a Savior. Salvation. Jesus said in Revelation 3, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. What is it saying? If you know I'm working on your heart, give me an opportunity. How do we do that? Romans tells us with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, and all those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So a short, simple prayer can have an eternal, powerful, life-changing impact. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you do not know the Lord in the way you process, in the way you experience, in the way you understand, in the way you live life and see life, if from that perspective you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can. Don't let the expectation and control of people to get you to jump through hoops you don't understand imprison you to the reality and the truth that Jesus is real. And he gives life, John 10:10, not death. It's not about the rules. That's legalism and religion. It's about a real relationship. Doesn't mean sin's okay. Romans 6, Paul says, God forbid that you use your freedom to go back and sin. But you are called to be free in the name of Jesus. If you don't know him, or for whatever reason, you've allowed this stuff to come between you and God, and you know your heart's not right, this is your moment. This is your time. Don't let it pass. Let this prayer come from your heart and from your mouth. Pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins, and I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I want a relationship, not a religion. So I turn to you today, and I open up my heart, I open up the door of my life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now look up here. If you prayed that prayer, I'm not here to embarrass you, but just so I know who I was praying with, at the count of three, I just want you to lift your hand and say, Pastor, look me in the eyes, raise your hand as a way of saying, I prayed that prayer with you today. Can you do that? At the count of three. Some of you are more bold, you'll do it quicker. Some are a little more shy, I understand. But I encourage you to do that. 1, 2, 3. Pastor, I prayed that prayer. Who was I praying with? I see the hand. Thank you, sir. I see the hand. Thank you, gentlemen. I see the hand. Thank you. I see the hand. God bless you. Anybody else? In the back, I see the hand. God bless you. Anybody else? I see the hand. God bless you. I see the hand. Thank you, sir. I see those two hands, the third, the fourth. I see that. Thank you. Fifth hand. God bless you. Anybody else? Sixth hand. God bless you. God bless you. Here's what I want to do. One more thing before we dismiss today. You're saved. That's exciting. But the Bible tells us that we can be strengthened in our spirit, in our inner man, by the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that there is strength to stand for the Lord and against temptation and the enemy. And so here's what I want to do. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but if you'd be willing to stand today, you say, I just prayed that prayer for salvation, but I want to be able to stand for Jesus. Because some of us, it's the first time we've heard the gospel. Others, you've heard the gospel, and you get out in the world, and you fall to the sin and temptation of the pressures of people, and then you feel like you're going to come back. And I'm glad you came back and repented, 1 John 1. But I'm here to tell you that there's something better for you. And one of the things we want to do is to celebrate what God's doing in your life, but also pray that their anointing would come upon on the inside of you to give you the strength to stand. And I'm serious about this. I'm serious about this. Because we don't want you just to pray a prayer and go out and it's like getting in a race but never finishing the cross. We want you to finish and be successful and victorious and hear from heaven, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so some of you, you're bold, you're energetic. I appreciate that. You're going to stand quick. Some of you are a little shy. So the bold ones stand quick so the shy ones can feel confident to also stand. But I want you to know that if we struggle standing here when people are clapping for us, how do we stand out there when people are trying to talk us out of it? I'm just being real. And I'm saying God is real. Jesus is real. Amen. So if you mean business with the Lord and say, I prayed that prayer, I'm right with God. I know I'm saved now, but I want that strength on the inside. In the name of Jesus, count of three, I want you to stand. 1, 2, 3. Stand to your feet right now. I'm going to pray for you. Thank you for standing. Thank you. 2, 3, 4, 5. Thank you. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Thank you. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Come on. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. This is a big deal. Stay standing. I'm going to pray. Stay standing. Stay standing. Church, this is our family. When you see them out in public, you make sure you encourage them. stretch your hands toward them. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we stretch our hands toward these beautiful people that have just received you and made a commitment to stand for you, I just thank you right now that I pray that the anointing of heaven, that anointing of might and strength and power would be strengthened by the Holy Spirit and their inner man. I just pray right now that that anointing of strength would come upon and on the inside of them to empower them to stand for you and against temptation, against sin, against the enemy, against opposition, against the winds of doctrine, against anything the devil would try to use. No weapon formed against them will prosper. I thank you, Father God, for the ability to stand strong. Having done all, they will continue to stand strong. And we give you praise. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you again. God bless you.